The lines are open. 1-300-872-911. John McKenzie. Real music, real opinions. 4CA.
Yeah, 27 past 10. Isn't this bizarre with just 5 minutes to go till the state election, and these candidates are coming out of the woodwork. Almost every day there's a little surprise package. In this case, it's in the Cairns Post today. Here we go. It's actually on page 7, the story. It's under the heading, Labor finally names its man. Not who you might have expected. Now, it says here, this is Samuel Davis wrote this, running mates have turned rivals in the race for a crucial far north seat that could determine the fate of the upcoming state election, with former Cairns councillor Richie Bates set to replace a retiring member of parliament as Labor's candidate for Mulgrave. The ALP finally ended weeks of speculation yesterday afternoon with the 11th hour contender confirmed following a vote by members. On Monday evening, it means that after multiple false starts for the party, the 58-year-old father of two and avid cyclist has been entrusted with sprinting to the finish line as voters march to the ballot boxes in 45 days' time. Look, as everyone will remember, a veteran member, it says here, Curtis Pitt, announcing his decision to quit politics in Parliament. And he put up a gentleman, he recommended award-winning actor Aaron Fayoso as his preferred successor. And then within hours, I think it was Stephen Miles saying, oh, I'm not necessarily keen on Curtis's selection. I've got somebody else in mind. Now we know who he did have in mind, which is interesting. And it's Richie Bates. There's a photo here. They're beaming Cheshire Cats, actually. You think Stephen Miles has got a huge smile? Well, have a look at Richie Bates and Michael Healy, who are good mates, by the way, and they work together. But there you go. And it's going to be interesting to see how he goes. It does say this. This is a little bit of background. Cairns Division 1 councillor Brett Moller had been a near unbackable favourite to interstate politics before the LNP's Far North members threw their support behind former Mayor Terry James earlier this month. Now, Richie Bates and Terry James, both former Unity councillors. They were on the same team in the early days, prior to Richie Bates' defection, they call it, a defection, who sat next to each other in chamber meetings. Now they face off in a fight for Mulgrave alongside four other candidates fighting for the prized Far North seat, and there's still room for others. My God, it's going to be a battle. I'm looking at the screen here now. Terry James, Stephen Lacina for KAP, Dave Raymond, the independent, on the blower yesterday, very, very popular police officer, Richie Bates, ALP, Michael McInnes for One Nation. It goes on and on. It will filter the bottom of the page by election day by the looks of things. Richie's on the line. 2024 Labor state candidate for the seat of Mulgrave. There you are, Richie. How's it sound?
Oh, g'day, John. It sounds impressive, and I think you summed it up very well. But, John, I've got to apologise because I know I always pledge to you that if I ever did re-enter politics, I would let you know first. But this thing spread like wildfire. And before I knew it, when the result came out, which was only Monday night, so hence this is where we are now. But anyway, I think your summation of the battle for Mulgrave is a very interesting one.
Well, the fact of the matter is, you were toying with Division 5 again for months and months and months and wouldn't tie it down. And then, of course, you walked in a totally different direction the whole time you were plotting to have a crack at Mulgrave.
You could put it that way. I mean, I've always had an interest in community life and being a representative. 5 just didn't work out for me last year, and I was doing a job that I was very interested in, and I think it probably led further down the track to where we're at now. But politics can be a fickle game, and opportunities come and go, and I know how hard it is to win a pre-selection. I've been there before and been unsuccessful. So there was a window of opportunity that opened up late for Mulgrave, and I was definitely here we are now.
Now, everyone said you went and worked for Michael Healy because he was paying more money than the council.
Well, that's not quite right, but what I would say is that the portfolio of sport and tourism is very appealing. I mean, that's a great space to work. Two things I really like and enjoy. And it was an opportunity for some work experience that I just, you know, as I said, I thoroughly enjoyed, and it was very challenging as well. So for me, it's always been about the job and what you can get out of it and what you can give back. And so that was that's where I was there. But I just think, you know, I look at Mulgrave and I just think the great opportunities, and I see it really as the seat of the future for the Far North in a lot of ways.
Now, let's talk about this giving back. I think listeners will want to know what you represent, what you feel most passionately and strongly about. What can you bring to this particular role?
Well, I suppose, I mean, when I was a councillor, I was very keen on building new infrastructure and infrastructure for the future, and that was things like water infrastructure, and we're seeing some of that come to realisation now, definitely with the state government's input with the water project down at Gordonvale Way. Yeah. So I think for me it's always been about that stuff that can really build what we want for the future. And, you know, if it's water, if it's health, if it's housing or accommodation, these are great needs at the moment. So making sure we can keep those front and centre. And if you keep in mind that Mulgrave is probably the fastest growing, you know, region in the Far North here, and the opportunities and the growth that needs to be addressed there is really quite pressing. So for me, it's about pushing those things forward, but also making sure we've got a great lifestyle and can provide that livability for people and the day-to-day things they need to enjoy the Far North.
Well, how about security in their homes? How about security in the streets when they go shopping, etc.? With these attacks that are just totally out of control now, and not just in number of attacks, but the brutality we're seeing now. Surely, Richie, you're going to speak out on behalf of the victims up here, if indeed you're successful in the seat of Mulgrave.
Absolutely, John, and there's got to be consequences for criminal action.
Thank you.
Criminals have to be held accountable for their behaviour.
Adults and children.
No doubt about that. That's right. Everyone needs to be held accountable for their behaviour. Mm. So I don't shy away from that one, and that is a very challenging one, and importantly highlighted on your show. So that will be probably front and centre of a lot of the conversations I'll be having with my colleagues.
Wonderful.
And there'll probably be a little bit more of an announcement or some things that are all out in the coming weeks about that. But this job we're doing now, or this job I'm about to do as a candidate, it's really about we've got to address issues head on.
Yes.
We can't shy away for anything, and we can't sugarcoat anything, John.
Have you talked with Stephen Miles about our situation up here?
Look, I've talked to Stephen. I've talked to the police minister about some of these issues. I've talked to, obviously, Michael Healy, the local member, and others. But this is now the time. Now I've got the opportunity to be a candidate. I can get that voice that I would like to really discuss those matters in greater depth.
Mm, and then share them with us. I suppose to a certain extent you've got to play the game until election day, but I just hope you can convey to people who may vote for you that you mean what you say and you are going to address this full-on 100% effort to get this nightmare brought to an end.
Absolutely, John, and communication is critical in all of this. If we can't be upfront about what we're doing, what we intend to do, and also, just as importantly, listen to the community, because after all, we have one mouth and two ears, and we should use them in those proportions. This is where we've got to go.
By the way, when I still need commentary on bikes and everything to do with bikes and some of the dangers out there, etc., these bloody scooters, etc., kids are now just doing twice the speed limit, it would seem almost, because they're just zooming the power of these scooters, and lots of these kids without helmets. I hope you're still going to be available for commentary on those fronts as well.
Well, absolutely, John. I mean, that's something that's been a lifelong passion for me. I've been involved in cycle sport as a coach and the like. But you know, more generally, transport is such an important issue, and this is a new piece, as you highlighted a few years ago. This is a new piece in the transport puzzle that we're seeing emerge.
Yes,
it's a valid one, but we need to make sure we can do it safely and implement, you know, the kind of cycleways and roads and rules we need to support all users and transport, because, you know, if we want to get transport right, we've got to have that great mix, and it's got to work. It's got to be effective and safe.
I'm so pleased you brought this up. Have you read letters to the editor recently? The people who rely on our bus service have just been deserted. I mean, the buses, in so many occasions I read, just don't turn up. Not only that now, with these little bloody kids especially, some of them a significant number carrying weapons, people getting on the bus do so with great trepidation because there's no one to step in. I mean, the bus driver can't step in when they're being attacked or threatened or robbed or whatever. Once again, the bus transport system in this town needs urgent attention, Richie.
Absolutely. So it's got to be reliable, John, but part of that reliability is it's got to be safe.
Yes.
So people have got to feel like, you know, and there are services out there. I'm not going to be critical of the bus, of Kinetic and Sunbus and the drivers, the work that they do, because I think by and large it is good. But they need to be protected, and they need also, you know, we want people to use it, and there's people that want to use it, but if they don't feel safe, then we're missing out on great opportunities for, you know, a more efficient transport system, because, you know, people want to take the bus or some other public transport form. That's one less car on the road. That makes it easier for those car drivers that are already there. And again, it's a piece in the puzzle we need to address.
One final point, and this is, I haven't mentioned on air before. I was talking to a victim of a smashed general store and a fast food shop out at Palm Cove. And it had already been announced that the five kids that went out there, children virtually of 14 and 15 and 16, had travelled there by bus. But I hadn't realised, I should have picked it up when I saw the state of his shop, one of them was carrying an axe. How the hell do you get onto a bus carrying an axe and nobody notices? And if they do notice, nobody says anything. This is a point, once again, I just don't know how far this political correctness thing has to go. But if you've got 4 and 5 kids playing up on a bus, if they're looking like trouble, shouldn't there be the ability of people, of people on the bus to ring the police or ask the driver perhaps to alert the police ahead that there are 5 pieces of trouble on the bus? And could there be a patrol perhaps sent out to, for example, Trinity Beach or Clifton Beach or wherever they're headed, just because these kids need to be under some sort of surveillance because they're constantly looking for victims?
It's a great point you make, John, and it's very distressing when you hear that stuff. Now, I know we do have security officers or the like that do work on our bus services, but it might be we need to take an extra step here and have better levels of surveillance.
The surveillance, exactly.
It is very distressing, and you know, people come here, want to have a holiday and have a good time, and they may well want to see the opportunity to catch the bus out to Palm Cove. It should be a wonderful experience, you know, where, you know, they're having an enjoyable journey and then they get to a destination where they can even have more fun. So you highlight something that is vitally important, John. We can't shy away from that.
Exactly. Good on you, Richie. Good start. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
That's Richie Bates for the ALP, and he is now the official candidate in the forthcoming election for the seat of Mulgrave.